Welcome to Beyond Standards, your source for authentic discussions about the world of teaching. Get ready to explore challenges, share inspiring stories, and discover strategies that will empower you to make a lasting impact on your students. Here are your hosts, who are trying to master the fine art of maintaining their sanity while managing a classroom, Joe Rohrhoff and Jeff Bologna.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Beyond Standards podcast, your go-to place to explore the highs and lows of the teaching profession. I'm Joe, and I'm here alongside my co-host, Jeff. Jeff, what's going on today?
Joe, you know, I'm doing well, and I'm feeling really good because of your PD on Tuesday. For the listeners out there that don't know this, and a lot of us at our building didn't know this until about October or November, but we have a cardiac response team on our staff in case of an emergency. And so we were in a PD and we were looking on our Navigate Prepare app and we saw cardiac response team. What's that? And then we saw Joe's name was on there. And so all of us were pretty shocked to see Joe's name on our cardiac response team. I didn't know if I have a heart attack in my classroom that Joe was my go-to guy. And then Joe informed me that he hadn't officially been trained in CPR, but was on our cardiac response team. So how did your training go on Tuesday, finally getting certified?
Yeah, it was good. It was finally, I think they put me on that team pre-COVID. And when I was put on that team, I said, yeah, I'm happy to do it. You know, I'm a coach, I'm a teacher. I went through the training before my kids were born. So I guess I'm, you know, about 14 years ago, I went through the training. I said, I'm comfortable doing it, but I need to be retrained. And then I think COVID happened and we all forgot about it. And then my name popped up in a list, and I happened to be not there that day at PD at ET, and I get a bunch of texts like, "Hey, glad to have you to save me if I have a heart attack." And I said, "Well, I'll do my best, Jeff, but no promises." But now I got your back. I went through the CPR training, and I'll tell you, you know, I'm always honest with you. If I think last week I told you how I thought what I did that half day I took off was kind of a waste of time. This was certainly worthwhile. It's just, I know the odds of being in that situation are not good, but you know, having kids, being a coach, being a teacher, being around all kinds of people, you know, teachers with high stress levels that, you know, we worry about some of our colleagues. I honestly feel really comfortable. I had an awesome instructor. I feel comfortable doing what I'm doing. So I got your back. You're, you know, two doors away. I got your back if something happens.
But didn't you say at lunch today, Joe, though, if I cut a finger off, though, I need to call someone else because blood is not your thing? Is that what you told us?
Yeah. Some of the videos that we had to watch in the training, I was like, no, I'm like, if there's somebody out using like a table saw in the school, that's don't come get me for an accident with that. I would not be the go-to person.
All right. I will mark that. But I'm just relieved to know that if something happens to us, our cardiac response team is finally trained. So this was great. But I'm ready, Joe. I'm ready for this episode. I'm excited to hear what our guest has to share with our audience.
All right, let's dive in. But I told you, Jeff, before we came on, you got to be on your best behavior today, because for the first time on the Beyond Standards podcast, we are going to have a building principal on the show. And our focus today, the main focus is going to be the process of finding that dream job, that job you want. And our guest is going to take us through kind of a principal's perspective, everything from what to do to land that job interview to how to kind of nail the job interview, give some mistakes to avoid. And if we've got time, we're going to run through a first year teacher, how to acclimate to a new building. So I am so excited today to introduce Devin Caudill. Devin is in her fifth year at Ammerman Elementary in the same district where we teach. She's the principal at my wife's building and does an awesome job and a great job. And Devin, we are so excited to have you on the show. So welcome to the show. And I'd love for you to, you know, share a little bit about your teaching journey and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited to be here. Yeah, so like you said, this is my my fifth year at Ammerman, but I believe it is my 12th year as in administration, and I did, I believe, 12 or 13 years in the classroom prior to that. I taught anything from small group reading and math instruction, spent a long chunk of time teaching first grade, and just as much time teaching middle school math, which I absolutely adore seventh grade math. That is one of my favorites. Wow. So seventh graders are something special, and I like them a lot. So
it's a good, nice way of putting it.
Yeah, they're special. Of those 12 years in administration, 10 have been as a building principal and 2 as an assistant principal at the middle school level. So definitely a wide range. And it's interesting you talk about like that dream job. Like I think I might have it right now. Like I work in a pretty great place with a lot of really great people, which just makes my job really easy. And I think that's part of it, like just surrounding yourself with pretty fantastic people. And I'm really lucky that I do. And it just makes the job that I do super easy in that sense. I mean, it's hard. There's a lot of like things when I like this today, I step back for a second and I'm like, okay, what? How do I navigate through all that? But it's not, I still like it. I'll go back tomorrow.
Yeah, right. It's a challenge for sure. But that's awesome to hear it. So we talk all the time on our podcast about how important that community is. And we feel like we have it at our building as well. And I know that you guys have it in Ammerman too. That's cool.
From all accounts, from what I've heard, you know, talking to teachers in the district, I think they feel, you know, you said you feel blessed to be the building you are. I think they're blessed to have you there as well. So that's a, you know, kudos to you for running a good community building there.
No, I appreciate that. I think part of that is just trusting the people that you work around to be the professionals that they are. And my job is just to, you know, to help coach along the way and make them better as they make me better, and try to remove some of those barriers that might get in the way from time to time that don't let them do the job that they want to do.
Let's jump into what we're here for. We're here to, you know, we're here to offer some advice and, you know, for inspiring teachers, maybe people looking to jump districts and stuff. You know, we always hear, you know, a job gets posted, especially in our district. Our district is very sought after, right? And you always hear that, oh, you know, one position opened in our district and they had 300 applicants apply for, you know, for a position. How can teachers, in your mind, how can teachers position themselves to attract attention, you know, to the hiring committee, to maybe just to at least get that job interview, right? Because that's step one, is applying and getting those interviews. What can teachers do to position themselves properly?
Yeah, that's a great question. I was thinking about that. Like, what are those ways to get your name noticed? Because the way a lot of times when we look at candidates, they're just names in a computer system that we're scrolling through. So a couple things to help get to stand out, honestly, is to email the building principals directly. I'll be honest. I never respond to those emails. I don't respond to a single one, but I file every single one away and I look at them and I look at the resumes that are attached. And if we are looking, that might be somebody that I definitely will click on all their materials to look through their entire profile, to look at all the things that they've submitted through the website that everything is uploaded to. And another thing, and is really word of mouth. Like if you know somebody in that district and you want to get in, it's really saying, hey, Joe, I really like to get in. Can you just mention to somebody that I applied? And that will get you a click. Like I'll click on your stuff to look at it. And if everything in that looks worthwhile, then that's just that step closer to getting that interview.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. You know, to reach out to the principal directly. Now, is it you that kind of makes the decision on who's going to be interviewed ultimately? Like if there's an opening at Ammerman at your school, do you get that final say, or is there like a team that works together for that?
So it really depends. It varies from district to district. You know, when I've worked in several different districts and all of them are a little bit different. A lot of times the HR department will look through them themselves and say, hey, we found these candidates. Like, what do you think? And then you can say, you know, those look great, but I also want to add these ones as well. So we will get that. If there's someone in particular that I want to interview, then yeah, I definitely get that say so in that. Or if there's someone that I definitely don't want to interview, I also get that say so in that. You know, hey, we've interviewed this person already. That's we don't need to do that again. That was, remember, that's this person who blah, blah, blah. Oh, yeah, that's right. We don't need to interview them again. So, yeah, we definitely have those conversations. A lot of times, at least in Northville, what we try and do is it's a group decision. Even though I might be hiring directly for, let's say, Ammerman, that person could end up at another building. So we try and definitely get other administrators on that team. You know, that might not be true in some of the smaller districts. It just really depends. I mean, if you're applying in a small district that only has a couple buildings, that might not happen. Right. But anywhere you have a larger district, and by larger, I mean three or more elementary schools, you would hope that they would have multiple people on that team to help make those decisions.
Devin, I've got a student teacher right now and who will be finishing, you know, she'll be finishing and jumping into this candidate pool. And, you know, I always talk about getting good letters of recommendation. You know, I already talked to her about getting good letters of recommendation. You, as someone who looks at their, you know, looks at all of the things that have posted online and their applications, who do you think are the best individuals that these people should ask for letters of recommendation? You know, someone coming right out of college, things like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's first start with someone who's going to give you a good letter of recommendation.
That's a great point. Yeah.
Let's start with that one. And definitely somebody that you've done, if you're a fresh out of school student teacher, and let me tell you, if you are a student teacher and if you get into a district and you do a student teaching there and you do a good job, that's a great pathway to getting hired right there. I had a fantastic student teacher a few years ago. She currently teaches fifth grade in my building. I had a fantastic student teacher in the fall. I'm going to work really hard to find this gentleman a position in our district for next year. Doing a good job in student teaching in that district that you are going to be ultimately want to work in, that's gold. I'm going to start with that. But as for that letter, like who to ask, definitely if you're a first year, your cooperating teacher is going to definitely be that person. I'm hoping that if you're a student teacher, you've reached out to the building principal and asked for them to come and do an observation. I'm really hoping you did that. I've had a few people that have done student teaching in my building and haven't, and they don't work in Northville. So, I don't know where they've landed either. And the letter of recommendation, so sure, I'll write them a letter of recommendation, but how it's worded is going to be very different. And I think that's a thing to look at as you're asking people for letters of recommendations is when you receive that letter, take a look at it. If that letter is very factual, it says, you know, person came to work every day, the person worked with their cooperating teacher, the person did, like, if it's very factual, as a hiring committee, I'm going to look at that. I'm going to read a very factual letter of recommendation and go, there's a lot that wasn't said in this letter, right? But if I read a letter that is like, I highly recommend they did this and they showed this and their behavior was this and they did these things, those letters of recommendation we're going to take a look at, right?
Yeah, that makes so much sense. I had a student teacher last year and a colleague of mine also had a student teacher at the same time. And I can tell you the recommendation based on the performance of my student teacher, the recommendation I gave was outstanding. And the colleague of mine was, I would describe it as factual. I think that's an awesome way to describe a letter, very factual.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you, HR people know that when they're looking at letters of recommendation, they know that. And if they see those, let's be honest, that person's not going to get a second look. So if that's the kind of letter of recommendation you got, I would recommend you don't include that letter.
That's great. Great advice.
Anything else while we wrap up the kind of the job seeking part of this? Like, do you look at online portfolios, physical portfolios? Is there anything else you're really looking for that a candidate could do to make themselves stick out? Because I remember back in my days, it was all this binder portfolio.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone ever looked at it, but I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
I'll be honest. People show them and I will look through it as a courtesy. It's not really something that is going to make change my way one way or another. Yeah, it's a courtesy to look through those. So that, if you don't have one, don't waste your time making one.
No, that makes sense. I think, look, reflecting on mine, when I created one of those, it was more about the process of doing it. I think I learned a lot from the process, but I don't think it helped me get a job.
No, I don't think so either. And, you know, and I want to, like, too, if we think about, like, the resume in general, when you're submitting that resume, just a clean cut resume is really all you need. Like, something that just, and uses, like, action words like developed, designed, implemented, attended, like those words. Pictures of yourself. Please don't include quotes on the side. you know. Also, don't quote yourself on the side. I'm going to tell you that I've seen those. You're putting a quote above yourself on the side of your own resume. Don't do that either.
Joe probably, like, has a Michael Scott quote.
Hey, if you get an Office fan principal, that might work.
Well, there's a, okay, well, maybe there. but no, I definitely just, like, a clean cut resume that goes through all those pieces. And don't be afraid, if you're a new teacher, to highlight some of those jobs you did outside of teaching that are going to show your ability to problem solve and work with a team. Like, those are those things that we're also looking for. Like I said, if you've held jobs outside of education, if you were a server at a restaurant, that's great. You know how to handle a high stress environment where you're doing multiple things at the same time.
Sure.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, that's, like Jeff said, that is outstanding advice. Let's transition a little bit to the interview itself. So once you've made that perfect resume, you've secured that interview, what is something that a candidate can do in the interview, or what are some things that they can do to make themselves stick out in a positive way?
I think be positive, right? I think if we, as educators, we deal with people, right? Whether it be kids, we also deal with adults. We want to make sure, is the candidate looking at us in the eye? You know, are they able to have thoughtful conversation? Are they smiling? Like, these are those things that, like, we know you're nervous. Like, we get that 100%. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to say, I'm really nervous. And we'll say, I bet you are. Like, because we've all been there. Like, don't be afraid to say, I'm nervous. That's okay. But really just be yourself. Remember, this is, I don't know, have fun. I think those candidates that come in, have fun, really don't overthink things. I've seen candidates just really work themselves up and not able to think or formulate answers. And it's okay to say, like, hey, can I take a second to think? And that's okay too. Like, we're not going to think less of you for that, right? We've all had to have those moments.
This is from one of our past guests, Tyler. He's a first-year teacher. And so we reached out to him to see, you know, he was curious, in your experience, what questions do aspiring teachers struggle with, or are they the least prepared for in interviews?
I think, and I can speak mainly of the elementary level, because that's, of course, you know, where I've interviewed for the majority of my career. Did a couple of years interviewing middle school. And those are very content specific. And I think those are those pieces that are sometimes trip our candidates up, specifically around literacy. They don't take the time to remember those important pieces of literacy and literacy instruction. So if you are going to, you know, teach at an elementary level, make sure you take a little bit of time and prepare for an interview. I'm going to tell you, prepare for that interview. Study mock interview questions. Know the parts of, the best way you think math instruction should be taught. You know, if you think it should be taught through manipulatives, if you think it should be taught through a workshop model, like if you think, if you are someone who's heavy on the science of reading, why is that? Like, make sure, study it. Like, even if you don't know, make sure you know. And also, I think it's really important, you know, for example, all of our elementary schools are Leader in Me schools, or I know the high school and the middle school are IB schools. Know what that is. Like, you might not be able to know all of that, but be able to say, hey, I know you guys are IB. I know this means that. I'm really excited to learn more about it. I know this is a Leader in Me school. I know it means this. I can't wait to learn more. So make sure that you know those terms and pieces. The other thing that's really big too, and this is going to be across the board K-12, is know what an MTSS process is. Know what that process, the multi-tiered support systems is, how that looks at whatever level that you are interviewing for. That's going to be a big piece too.
Yeah, I love all the specific advice. And this next question kind of goes along with the tough questions. Are there any common mistakes you've seen or any good stories that go with mistakes during the interview?
don't bash this is what your our listeners former want boss. Don't talk about how much you hated your prior superintendent during your job. Don't do that. I'm going to recommend that right now. Or
that's awesome.
Don't talk about, this is a while ago. This is when I was working at a charter system, and this individual first of all came in. Now, when we say professionally dressed, like, you don't need to go out and buy a new suit. Just look nice, right? That's really all, you know. I would recommend not showing up in holy jeans, flip-flops, and a tank top. Let's start with that, because I've seen this. And I'd also recommend being sober for your interview.
Oh, wow.
These are pieces. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We did an interview. Yeah, so dress, and we did an interview during COVID, so it was virtual. And this individual, I believe, I did not, but I believe one of the someone from central office ended up calling this individual's district because they were doing the interview from their library, and it was very clear that they are intoxicated.
Oh, wow. Geez.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm going to recommend interviews to be done. So dress appropriately don't drink. So those are things that I'm going to, those are big do nots. But no, the big thing is like, don't sell your district's dirty laundry, right? If you had a poor experience, think of a positive way to like wrap that up in a, you know, we were really, the district and I were going in different directions on our viewpoints. And so I really felt like it was time for me to find a district that is more aligned to, you know, how I, you know, believe education should be. So make it sound right. We get what you're saying, but don't make it sound like, you know, I really just hated it there.
Great.
That guy was crazy. Yeah.
Great advice. Because who knows? You may have worked with that guy.
That's the other thing, too. Like, it's the educational world is actually smaller than we think it is, right? Everybody might know somebody that knows somebody. You know, I was just at our at a conference yesterday. It was yesterday. Sorry, this week is longer than today was longer than it was supposed to be. And I ran into three people from three different districts across the county. We all could find someone we knew in common, being able to have those conversations. The people are going to know people who are going to know people. So just be really careful you don't burn bridges around the process.
Right. Yeah. And as you mentioned before, that can work in a positive way, too. You know, if you come out with that positive attitude, then that can spread amongst the principals as well.
Oh, 100%. And it's like, oh my gosh. Like interesting you mentioned that, because that positive came up about our AD that we have in our district, talking to a guy that's in his former district and was just talking him up about what the great things he's done here, what a loss it was to lose him in that district. And just, so those positives do come up along the way as well.
Yeah, Absolutely. So Devin, I have the same student teacher I was talking about before that I had last year. I reached out to him and he found a job, but it is, I'll just say it's not his dream job. He's teaching mm-hmm. in a kind of an online environment. And I said, hey, what would you ask? Like, what do you want to ask? And his question was, how does he, as someone really without that much experience, he feels like he's going up against these candidates that have, you know, 10 years of experience. What can he do as a newer teacher to make himself stand out?
You know, sometimes being a newer teacher is better in some ways, because we might be looking as building principles for like that fresh, you know, a fresh face, some fresh ideas, someone who isn't completely set in the way that they want to do things. So we might be able to say, hey, not to say that like we have an agenda, but like we do have a way that we would like our building to go, the climate and culture, the way that we think kids, the best way kids should learn and teach. And sometimes knowing that you're going to get someone that you can hopefully help along the way to someone to your ideals is better. Yeah. So it's not just, I don't think being a newer teacher has as many negatives as people really think it is. Sometimes we go against candidates, like I said, that have been in a particular position, you know, for, a long time. I'll give you, we interviewed a candidate last summer. She was fantastic, but she wanted to teach kindergarten and that was it.
Yeah.
And so she was, unfortunately at the time we didn't have a kindergarten position open. So she didn't get a position and that's kind of where that is. So I think, it's one of those, like, what are those things that sets you apart? Right. And as much as we know it as educators today, when we talk about kids in the classroom, that we want them to have a growth mindset, have perseverance, have grit, you know, be able to face a challenge and not back down from it and look and see what are those different things that I can do to solve it. We want the same thing in the people that we surround ourselves in our building, right? You want that as a colleague. You want someone who's going to be a great team player, who's not going to come across like a hard situation that you guys have got to figure out and go, sorry, guys, I'm out. You want someone that's going to help you. And so being able to set yourself through that interview process and say, hey, you know, I might not have as much experience in the classroom, because I'm going to tell you, I can give you a math curriculum. I can say, here's this math curriculum. You're going to use this. Mm-hmm. Great. I can teach you how to use that math curriculum. I can teach you how to use a reading curriculum. I can teach you how to give a BAS. I cannot teach you to be a good human. That is unteachable.
That's amazing. You know, Devin, this has been great. I mean, anybody out there listening is getting all kinds of great advice. You know, we're getting kind of long. Any final words of encouragement or advice for those teachers looking for that dream job?
Yeah, don't give up. Speaking of dream jobs, it took me 18 interviews between me leaving my former position and coming to North in one summer.
Oh, wow.
Between my former position and where I sit today. 18 interviews. There's a reason why I didn't get those 18 jobs. I was the runner-up for 18 positions because I was supposed to be here. So there's a reason why you're on your path and on your journey. So don't give up. Like your former student teacher, he's just at the start of that path and that journey, giving him those experiences to get to that next right thing. Also, just the other thing too, if you're in a good district with good people, don't jump for the shiny penny. Sometimes a good place to be is worth more than, you know, $1,000 extra dollars.
Yep. No, that's great advice. I'd love to echo that, because like I said, once you find that community where you're happy going to work every day, there's not a price that you can put on that. Although with the lottery at $600 million, yeah. maybe there's a small price.
Yeah,
you can put
let's
on that,
let's but. Be clear. If I win the lotto, I will finish the year, but I will not be back. I will finish the year, but I will not return for $600 million.
You know, I hope Connor's listening out there, and he took that advice from Devin about don't give up. You know, you're on your path is just starting. That was awesome. I have chills just listening to you say that. That was great. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
We appreciate it, Devin. And we didn't have time today to get into that first year and acclimating to a new building. So, Devin, that means at some point you're going to have to come back on. We're going to have to go through that stuff. But we appreciate you taking the time so much for coming
on
today.
Yeah, of course. I'm so happy to help in any way. Anything I can do. Our profession is hard. What we do is hard. And we don't, you know, it's, I hate to be cliche, you know, you don't do it for the income, you do it for the outcome, but it's really true. Like, I do what I do because I get a dozen hugs a day. Yep. I do what I do because I just smile thinking about what I get to do. Right.
Yep.
I'm happy to help anybody who wants to continue to have that passion for what we do.
Well, that is, I think that's an excellent way to wrap up the episode today. Jeff, anything else?
No, this was awesome, Devin. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, so much good advice. So much, I mean, just that was awesome. And good stories. All I took away was don't go to an interview drunk. That's what I got out of this one.
Yeah, don't. If you got anything from what we talked about, that is your one takeaway. Yeah,
I was thinking when you said the thing about the jeans and the tank top, I'm like, yeah, that's a rule I have for basketball tryouts too for eighth grade. The kid that shows up in the jeans and the tank top, that's, I mean, a good way to take yourself out of the mix right away.
That's it. Teaching an eighth grade basketball, exactly the same.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up today, you guys. Thank you so much for listening again. And as I say it every week, we are trying to build this community. Last week, I was on here, and in order to hold myself accountable, I said I would be creating a TikTok account for the Beyond Standards podcast. I did it. I forced myself to do it. I said I wasn't sure if I'd have any videos up. I have one up, one video up. And if you want to know what it is, you got to follow us at Beyond Standards Teaching. Find us on TikTok there. And we've got some ideas of things that we're going to do to help grow our community and keep building our community. But we can't do it without you. Please do us a favor. And whatever you're listening, whatever platform you're listening to this to on, give us a like, give us a subscribe, give us a positive review. I know for the big podcast, it probably doesn't do much for little podcasts like this. Every single review, every single thumbs up you give us goes a long way, and it means a ton to us as well. So please do what you can to help us out. And join us next week. We will be right back at you. We are going to jump into some teacher strategies next week. And we're going to talk about something that I know Jeff is an expert at. So he's going to kind of be the expert next week. That is Socratic seminars. It's something he does in his English classes all the time. And it's something I'm a little bit jealous of because I love the way they operate. And I need some advice on how to kind of bring those into my own classroom. And I'm guessing there's a lot of teachers out there that could benefit from that. All right, so we'll see you next week. This is Joe and Jeff signing off, reminding you to keep going above and beyond those standards because you may not make a lot of money, but you do make a difference.